So last week, we were here together, and we were here together in science class. And specifically, we were here together in geology class. So this morning, I'm going to welcome you back to spiritual geology. This is spiritual geology 201. You guys all passed last week. You've got your credit for 101. This is spiritual geology 201, and hopefully your faces after last week will look a little bit more excited and enthralled than these faces. I love the way that the Word of God always reveals. And if we, again, if we will look at things from science, from history, just at the world around us, it always points us back to Jesus. Always. And as I said last week, when viewed through the lens of the Word of God, when viewed through this lens, geology becomes more than just a look at old, dry rocks. It becomes a vibrant look at God's creation. And I've said this before, but I want you to really think about this because it's not just a statement, it's true. Geology is a science, but it's a science that points us to who we are in Jesus. This is the miracle of the things that we see in this everyday life. They always, if we look, they always point us to Jesus. But geology points us and shows us who we are in Jesus. And what's more, geology points us to the plan that Jesus has for our lives. Now, last week we looked and we saw how often God uses rocks as a metaphor to unveil spiritual truth to us. And we know that Jesus is called the rock, the cornerstone, for example. We know that we are called living stones in Jesus. So we can see, and we saw last week, how many times, just do a word search and go back and look. Do a word search and find out how many times rock, stone, or variations of that are in the Word of God. God uses geology to point us back to Him, points us to the creation that He gave, and points us how that creation, you and I, is alive in Jesus Christ. So, we also saw that little brief geology lesson that showed us that there are three types of rocks in the surface of this earth. Anybody remember? If you don't, that's okay, because, okay. Sedimentary is one. Igneous, one more. Metamorphic, yes. Igneous, metamorphic, sedimentary. You guys did good. I told you that's not going to be the final exam, and you guys got all that down. That's good. So last week we focused our attention on sedimentary rocks. Why? Because sedimentary rocks are rocks that are made from that loose sediment. It's made from that dust, from that dirt, from that clay. And those are the very things that God's Word Himself, He tells us, it's from those very things that He created us. So we truly are living stones in Jesus, just as Peter says. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, we saw this last week. And the Lord God formed man of the dust. We truly are living stones of Jesus, of the dust of the ground, and breathed life into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, we also saw last week that that word that we see there for dust, that Hebrew word also means soil. And we saw that soil represents that spiritual condition of the heart to receive the seed or to receive the word of God. Well, in Jesus Christ, we are good soil. Because of Jesus Christ, you are good soil. So His seed, His Word planted in this soil, in this sedimentary rock, in this living stone for Jesus, is expected to produce a harvest for Him in this life, a harvest of His promises. And not just promises for my life. There's expected to be in this living stone a harvest of His promises in the lives of the people around me as well. This is the expectation, and that's the excitement of knowing who we are as living stones in Jesus. Now, geology also showed us that sedimentary stones are stones that are formed from the erosion of mountains. So it's that little bits and pieces through weatherization, little bits and pieces of the mountain that get detached from the mountain, and they eventually form into, as we saw last week, they form into those sedimentary rocks. So they are small rocks that come from large rocks. That is a picture of who we are in Jesus Christ. And it's exactly what Jesus described when He called Peter a rock. So we saw this last week in Matthew 16, verse 18. This is in the Amplified Bible. And I tell you, you are Peter, Greek, Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Greek, Petra, Jesus himself, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the power of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or to hold out against it. So we are the small rocks that come from, that are from the large rock of Jesus Christ. And then finally, we saw from geology that that sediment that comes from those large stones, it gets carried by water, by rainwater. It gets carried by water into rivers to its final destination. And one of the places that we saw that it gets deposited is as flood material that is on the area after a flood when the rivers overflow their banks. And it deposits that flood material, that sediment, that soil. And there it creates topsoil, new topsoil. And this is a definition from geology itself. This is not my definition. This is what I read from a geology definition. It says that that topsoil revives the land around the river. So you and I, we are sedimentary rocks. We are the living stones in Jesus. And we carry within us that soil, that rich soil that is enriched. It is sown with the Word of God. We are the living stones, and we are supposed to deposit that soil. We are supposed to revive the land that is around us as His living stones. We're to revive the land. And that rich sediment, that rich soil in us, it is carried by that waters, those rushing living waters that are the river of the Holy Spirit. So we can see by geology exactly who we are, and we can see by geology this leads us and points us in the direction of what His plans are for us as well. Let's look at that verse just to tie up that last statement. This is John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This is the enriched soil that is in us because we are that sediment. We are God's creation. We are living stones. And we are enriched by the Word of God. And it is carried through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. We, of course, live on the other side of that. Thank you, Jesus. So that's kind of a quick summary of everything that took place from last week. So now we head on to Spiritual Geology 201. So with the understanding of all those things we learned last week, now I want us to really perceive our role as living stones in Jesus. And a great example of this comes from what geology teaches us about the stones and the sediment in the Ganges River Delta area of India and Bangladesh. You didn't think you'd be going there this morning, did you? So I'm going to show you a picture. This is a map. And this is a map that I just want you to get a feel for where we're at. So, all right, so this is India. So you can kind of picture it's that little triangle down there. This is the eastern side of India. This is the Indian Ocean. This area up here, this white area, this is the Himalayan Plateau. So this is the whole Himalayan mountain range. If you come right up here, right about in here is where Mount Everest is. So I just want you to see how high this is separated. I want you to see that this is all right here, the area we're going to be talking about. This is the Ganges River Delta area. Now, as we see all this, I want you to remember that sedimentary rock, those living stones that we are, sedimentary rock is rock that is those little pieces of rock that get detached from the large mountains of the rock. And remember, that is washed away by rainwater, and it is carried by the rivers to its final destination. Now, if I can have that next slide. So this is going to be an actual slide that shows us a satellite view or satellite picture. So that white area that we saw on that map, this is that white area. And I want you to see this because this is the Himalayan Plateau. I want you to see this is miles and miles and miles and miles and miles up in space. But look, even here, you can see how high, how elevated this is. So this here is becoming the delta area that we're talking about. But look at the height that is there. Now, We're going to look at the same satellite image, but now we're going to look at it from the next one, which is a straight-on view. So we're looking at the satellite, but it's a straight-on view of that portion of India. Hopefully. Well, just kind of picture it down here then. So you can see in the satellite, and hopefully we get it, but in the satellite picture, it's going to be looking kind of like this. And what you'll be able to see, Tony, maybe you can help her, because I really want to see those little fingers. Oh, there it is, good. Okay, so in this satellite picture, what I want you to see, that's not the right one. That's really too bad. Okay, well, go back to the one that you just had. All right, so what you really can't see here, and it's unfortunate, it's going to show, go back to the map, if you would. Sorry about that, Donna. I'm really confusing Donna now. So on the map, if you remember, you can see that, all right, so here, what you can see in the satellite photo, you really get a good image of this. It shows you this Himalayan area. And you'd see that there's a whole bunch of little ponds and lakes up in this area. And there's actually a river that comes right through that whole Himalayan elevated area. And it's the largest river, it's the highest river on Earth because it's up on that plateau. But what else is interesting about it is it's one of the few rivers that actually heads one direction and then comes back and heads the other. So it starts off east, then it comes down off the Himalayan mountains, and it turns west as it becomes the Brahmaputra River. And on the satellite vision, you can really see that there's all these little tributaries and little streams that come down here. This is the Ganges River, and you can see all kinds of just little fingertips of rivers that come down here. So all that sediment that is up in here all gets carried down, and then it comes down into this, which is the Ganges River, and it eventually gets dropped off here in the Indian Ocean. Now, on that other satellite view that I had, you could actually see, and if you ever look at pictures from satellites, you can see there's all this discolored area. This is all blue, but here it gets a brownish because all of that sediment gets dropped off there. Well, this area right here, this area is the delta. It's the Ganges River Delta area. And this is a very flat land. You saw how high the Himalayas was. This is totally flat. Think about Wood County and how flat Wood County is. So in this area of the delta, and this is geologically, this is why it's so important. In this area of the delta, it is flat, and so it floods all the time. All that water that just gets built up in the Himalayan plateau, all that water during the rainy season comes down through all those different tributaries. It comes down through all those tributaries into these two different rivers. And it comes into the rivers, and then it all makes its way down here into this area. And remember that when there's flooding that takes place, what happens? All that sediment gets left there on that land, and that land becomes rich. It becomes ready for a harvest. It is revived by that sediment that comes down there. Now, some of the sediment doesn't actually make its way down here, or some of it doesn't get left in the delta. Some of it gets carried on by the river, and it comes all the way down here. It gets disgorged from the mouth of the river into the Indian Ocean. And that's where you see that buildup of all that silt. And if you look at pictures, you'll see that buildup of silt and sediment. That actually continues to build up, and it actually becomes an obstacle that has to be dealt with. Well, some of that doesn't come down, that represents what can happen to us, what can take place inside of us. Because remember, we are the ones that carry all that rich soil. We are the sediment that is infused with the Word of God. And we are supposed to be depositing all of that sediment. We're supposed to be depositing it on the land and reviving the land around us. But if we are not depositing that rich, rich soil, that soil that is invigorated or filled, sown with the seed, the Word of God, if we're not depositing it, then what happens is it all clogs up. It builds up. It becomes wasted sediment that eventually becomes an obstacle that has to be dealt with. If I have the Word of God in me, but I am not depositing that Word around me to infuse life, to revive the land around me, think about this. How many believers do we know in the church? They have the truth. They have the seed. They have the Word of God. But if they keep it inside, if they're not depositing it, it becomes waste. How many believers do we see? How many churches do we see that are compromising with the world? They're not standing and living on the world. They're compromising with the Word. We just saw the movie Unplanned this week. If you haven't seen it, It's a great movie that you need to take some people to see. But it kind of shares that same theme of what happens when someone who even is a believer, but if they're not living out the word, they actually become an obstacle to the word moving forward and to the life of the word moving forward. So we need to always make sure that we are aware as living stones in Jesus. We carry that rich soil infused with the word of God, the word of life. And it is our responsibility, this is our role as living stones, to deposit that in the land around us and revive the land that is around us. So geology shows us and teaches us that sediment gets carried by water. It gets carried by rivers. Well, the Holy Spirit is that river. It's that river that carries you where you need to be and where He can use you. Then we can become that sediment that Jesus works through to do His work. We become those living stones that bring forth supernatural results that revive and change the land that is around us. This geological principle of that sediment being carried, that enriched sediment being carried, that geological principle, that principle itself points us back to who we are in Jesus and to what His plan is for us. Remember the biblical account of Jesus with the man who was blind in John chapter 9? I want to read that to you. There's 7 verses, but I want us to read all of those because there's so much that's there, so much richness that's there. So turn there, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the work of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When He had said these things, He spat on the ground. He made clay with the saliva, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And He said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. And so He went and washed and came back seeing. So Jesus and the disciples come across this man who's been blind since birth. The disciples ask what caused this. Jesus gives His explanation, and then He puts the mud on the man's eyes, and the man is healed. Now, I want us to look at one specific verse in particular that I just read, but I want us to see it from a different version. So in John chapter 9, verse number 4, I want us to see it this time. That was in the New King James. I want you to see this from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "We must work the works of Him who sent me. As long as it is day, night is coming when no one can work." Now, there's a lot of versions, like the one I first showed you from New King James, that read that as Jesus saying, "I must work the work of Him who sent me." And that is correct. But the more correct, the more full grammatical interpretation of that is, "We must work the work of He who sent us." It's not a contradiction. It's just that the New American Standard Bible goes back and it is actually enhancing it. It's actually giving the fullness of what the original meaning was. It's not contradictory because it is we, but it's we that has to work through the I, Jesus Christ. It starts with Jesus, but then it's passed on to us. And here's how that looks like. So think about this. Jesus was sent by the Father to do the work while He was here on this earth. But while Jesus was here on this earth, and as that story was taking place, the day was soon coming when Jesus would lay down His life for the sin of all man. And then He'd be resurrected back to life. And then He would ascend up into heaven. After He defeated the hold of sin and death, He would ascend up to heaven in total victory. And then the Holy Spirit would come, and Jesus' followers then, and you and I today, then Jesus' followers would be the ones who would do the work that Jesus had come to do. It's the we do the work, but it all comes through the I of Jesus Christ. And we see that, look at this verse. This is John chapter 14, verse number 12. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. It's the we. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. We are the sedimentary rocks. We are the living stones in Jesus. We carry that enriched soil, that soil that has the seed, the word of God. And we are expected to, as his living stones, be taken where the Holy Spirit takes us, where we need to be so that we can be the sediment that he moves through and that we can revive the land around us. And by the word of God, we can see supernatural changes that take place. This is who we're supposed to be. Now, one of the most intriguing things to me about that whole story of Jesus healing that blind man with the mud on his eyes, it's in how Jesus healed that man in that instance. It's in the way Jesus did it, because it demonstrates, by Jesus doing what he did, it demonstrates how you and I, how he moves through the living stones of you and I to do his work today. It demonstrates that, because think about this. Jesus took up that dirt, that soil, that clay. He spit in it. He made mud. He put it on that man's eyes, and the man was healed. Well, remember, we are made from the dirt, from the dust, from the soil, from the clay. We are made from those same things of this earth. These are the things that we are made from, and Jesus moves through us. Jesus spit on that ground. He did that. And we as his living stones in Jesus. We become those sedimentary stones, those living stones that are filled with the Holy Spirit. See, we are that clay. We are that dust. But mixed with the living waters of Jesus at salvation, we become those living stones, those sedimentary stones that are filled with the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit moves with power through these living stones. Moves with power to do his work and to revive the land that is around us. So what are the things that are taking place in your life around you? What are the opportunities that are around you? What are the areas that Jesus, because he is in you, and because the Holy Spirit is taking us, carrying us in the same way that those rivers carry that sediment to its destination. Where is the Holy Spirit carrying you and I today, tomorrow, this week? Be aware of that. Every day the Holy Spirit is bringing us to a place where he can move through us and be used by us so that we can deposit that soil that is enriched by the word. In other words, you get to speak the word of God in situations and in lives. And you speak the word and you plant those seeds. And as we saw last week in the book of Mark, it's that same way. It's the seed first, and then the stalk, then the stem, then you get the head, then the kernels, then comes the harvest. Our job, your job is not to make the changes. Your job is to just be the sedimentary rock. You take that earth, that soil, enriched with the word of God. You deposit the word of God. Speak the word of God, and let the Holy Spirit then bring the results. Be excited, be thankful, and see those things that are coming. Now, when Jesus was on this earth, he said that it is day. But Jesus also said the night is coming when no man may do the work. Well, that night was coming because it was those 3 days of darkness that Jesus was in the grave. But then Jesus rose again from the dead, and now we no longer are in the darkness of night. Now we are his cities on a hill whose light cannot be hid. And think about this. The Holy Spirit would later speak through Paul years later and say almost the exact same thing that Jesus said. But as I read this, you'll see there's just a little bit of difference. There's a turning that takes place because it reflects the change, the spiritual seasonal change that has taken place. Because now we live in the day. There's a spiritual change from when Jesus said it to when Paul says it through the Holy Spirit after the work of Jesus is done. So this is Romans chapter 13, verse number 12. Paul is saying this, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." So we are in that new day. The darkness of this fallen world is coming to a close. The day of Jesus and his soon return is upon us. We have work to do. That day is upon us, and we are his sedimentary rocks. We are the living stones in Jesus. We are the ones that he is using. We are the ones that he uses because we are that soil. We are that dirt. We are that ground. The ground that he works through. Just as we saw him use the ground to heal that blind man. Can you see the connection of that? Everybody still with me? So if you go back to that verse that we looked at, when John was talking in chapter 9, in that verse that we read that it talked about the ground, the word ground, the Greek word that we read there for ground, it does mean earth. But in that context, in that verse, it also means this. No small thing that it means this in this verse, in the context of this verse. It also means, or it carries the idea of being prostrate. Earth and prostrate? That's showing us a picture of the carnal world which bows itself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, when you and I, when we operate as living stones in Jesus, operating in his power and in his authority, when we do that, the world itself, the natural world around you, it bows itself. It yields to the word that is in the soil, the enriched soil, the sediment that you carry within you and that is carried by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is one of my favorite verses. You've heard me say this a lot, so I had to put it in here so we just see the power of exactly what I'm talking about. This is Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Jesus is the one who was sent by the Father to do the works. But now we are the ones sent by Jesus to do his work. We are the sedimentary rocks. We are the living stones. We have the power, and that power through us, it is beyond we can think or ask, according to the power, his power that works through you, that works through us. This is why it's so exciting. This is why I love looking at science. Geology shows us who we are in Jesus Christ, but it also shows us the plan that Jesus has, the plan that the Father God has for each one of us. So we are to deposit that rich soil that is in us. And what's going to follow, what should follow, is a spiritual harvest that is 30, 60, or 100-fold. This is the lesson. This is what geology is teaching us when we look at the Ganges River Valley, or Delta Plateau. This is what it's teaching us. It's showing us that the sediment gets carried. Remember, sediment is those little pieces of rock that get detached from the large mountains. It's small stones that come from small rocks that come from a large rock. And then that sediment gets carried by the river and the river system. And the rivers flood and it deposits that soil. And that soil enriches and revives the land around it. You and I, we are the small rocks from the large rock of Jesus Christ. And it is the Holy Spirit and the river and the power of the Holy Spirit that carries us to where he needs us to be. And where we deposit, where you deposit that rich soil that is in you, you should expect to see a spiritual harvest of 30, 60, or 100-fold. Now, let's go back. Let's show us that green one that you showed that I said. So it's the one that's all green. Yeah. All right, so in this picture here, so this is going back to the Ganges River Delta. Now, as you're looking at this, you can see this is all the little tributaries. See all these little tributaries? So up here is the Himalayan Mountains. Look at all these little tiny rivers and tributaries. And you can see they come into these other rivers, the Brahmaputra and the Ganges. And all that comes down and passes on into this. So when you look at this and you see this, this is showing us exactly when every geologist sees this. If he is studying the rocks and the sediment and how sediment is carried from the mountains down to the lowlands in the Washington, every geologist that studies the Ganges River Delta looks at this and sees this. Right before their eyes is a sign from God about all the principles I've been talking about. Right in front of their eyes, it's there if they would only look and see it. This is why I think that science and geology, this is why I think it's, if we have eyes to look at it, it will reinforce the Word of God. Now, there was a geologist, he's not a Christian, but I watched a teaching that he did, and this geologist noted something here and highlighted it. So, show me that next one. So he highlighted this, and this geologist said, not a believer, he said, wow, the river system of the Ganges Delta area, it looks like a tree. Look, there's branches up on top that are fruitful, and look, there's a trunk, and look, there is deep roots that are there at the bottom. He saw this, but he missed the sign that was there. You and I, we don't miss the sign. We understand that Jesus is the trunk. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And the branches in Jesus Christ produce much fruit. There is a spiritual harvest that comes. Geology points to who we are in Jesus Christ and what we are supposed to do, what the plan is, and the power and the life that is in us because of that spiritual harvest. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That's the fruit that we're supposed to bear. This is the beauty of being a living stone in Jesus and carrying that rich soil within us and knowing there's opportunities every day to deposit that rich soil and revive the land that is around us. Now, we understand that that's our role. But the reality is, oftentimes, it's hard for us to see ourselves being used that powerfully, right? We can look and we can see ourselves and we see all of our faults, we see all of our failures, and we see ourselves as not being usable. Here again, geology itself points us back to the Word of God and brings us insight and revelation from the Word to address even those concerns. If we'll look at geology through the Bible, it always points right back to God and His Word. How does it do that? When geologists talk about the power of rivers to carry sediment, they're talking about the turbulence of the water. Remember last week I gave you that illustration. If you just look at the Maumee River, why is it always muddy? It's all that sediment. It's that turbulence. Go up by Grand Rapids sometime and look at that turbulence. It's that turbulence. So when they're talking about that, they're talking about the turbulence of the water. River water flows in one of two ways. It either flows with turbulence or it flows in something that is called a laminar flow. Laminar, L-A-M-I-N-A-R. It's L-A-M. But I want you to think about it as L-A-M-B, as in Lamb of God. Because this is what happens. Laminar water is water, think of it as water that gets lamb, L-A-M-B, laminated. In other words, it becomes peaceful. It's the opposite of all that turbulent. So when they're talking about the rivers and they're talking about how rivers, the power of rivers to carry sediment, it's either with turbulence or it's with a laminar flow. Now we understand what turbulent is. Turbulent is that tumultuous state of upheaval. But laminar, by definition, is streamline. It is a direct flow. Instead of all of that chaos and turning and twisting of turbulence, instead, laminar is that straight. It's described as parallel layers of water that are all going in the same direction. So it's that difference between this and this. And the best way I can demonstrate this to you is I got two pictures. One is a picture, both are water coming from a hose. So here's the first one. So you can see, this is an example of turbulent water. I mean, you can see that water coming out of the hose. You can see how it's turning and roiling, and it's not smooth at all. Now, here's another picture that shows laminar water. You can see the difference visibly. This is smooth. There's no turbulence at all. It's very easy. It's very peaceful. Now, why do I show you these things? And why is laminar flow important? Geologists have found that there is a thin layer of water, a thin layer of water that is on the riverbed. So as a river is flowing, at the bottom of that river, there's a thin layer of water, and that thin layer is untouched by all the turbulence that is above it. So in other words, you have this little thin layer. It is a layer that is just fractions of a millimeter thick. I mean, you can't even see it. It's that small. But it has a laminar flow. So think about this. And this is what geologists have discovered. Where water is in contact with the riverbed, the water flows smoothly. The water flows free of any turbulence at all. It doesn't matter what turbulence surrounds your life. And even more than that, it doesn't matter what turbulence surrounds whatever situation you might be praying for in someone else's life. You are undisturbed as long as you are flowing in contact with the riverbed or in contact with the bedrock. And remember, we saw last week, bedrock represents Jesus Christ. As long as you are flowing in contact with the bedrock, Jesus Christ, you are flowing in that Holy Spirit, laminar, peaceful flow that is moving forward in Him. All chaos might be breaking out around you, but it won't touch you and it will not impede you because you are in that flow of the river. You're in that flow of the Holy Spirit. So geology teaches us. It shows us who we are in Jesus Christ. We are living stones in Jesus Christ. We are living stones filled with the sediment, that soil that is enriched with the seed, the Word of God. And geology also shows us what His plans are, what the Father's plans are for us in this life. We are to take that soil that is in us. We're to take as living stones that enriched soil, and where the Holy Spirit, where the river takes us, we are to deposit that soil, and we should have an expectation that as we deposit that soil, it is going to revive the land around us. Listen, the pressure is not on you and I. All we have to do is be, just acknowledge who we are, go with where the river takes you, and be ready. Look for those opportunities to speak the Word of God into situations and into moments. Because there's going to be opportunities that sometimes might not even feel natural to you because it goes against the flesh. But if you're with someone you don't even know and you see they have a need, stop, speak the Word of God. Pray for them. It's an opportunity for you as a living stone in Jesus, because that opportunity was presented because the Holy Spirit, the river of the Holy Spirit, took you to the place where you needed to be so that you could be that sediment that Jesus works through, just like we saw with how Jesus healed that blind man. So every day is an opportunity for us. This is how geology points us back to Jesus and who we are in Jesus. So how do you feel about geology now? Points us back to Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You and praise You that everything in Your creation, if we will look, points us back to You. We give You the praise and the glory. We thank You for all of this. We thank You for making us living stones in You. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You flow through us. You flow through us with power, and that we will, we today say, commit ourselves. We will, where You take us, we will be ready to deposit that soil and revive the land around us. And we give You the praise and the glory for it. In Your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise this morning as we conclude.